You're listening to the Meet the Farmers podcast with me, your host, Ben Eagle. Please remember to subscribe to the show wherever you are listening. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special bonus episode of Meet the Farmers. I'm your host, Ben Eagle. Today, we're talking about a film which has been long awaited, certainly in Regen Ag circles, and was first shown at the Oxford Real Farming Conference back in January. 6 inches of Soil puts the spotlight on new entrant farmers and established pioneers who are flipping conventional farming on its head. And it really, I mean, I saw the film on Friday, and I was speaking with people afterwards, and it really is, it's the UK Regen Ag film. You just have to see this. In essence, it follows the stories of three young farmers: Anna Jackson, who's an 11th generation arable and sheep farmer from Lincolnshire; Adrian Gordon, a small-scale vegetable farmer in Cambridgeshire; and Ben Thomas, who is Cornwall-based, and he farms cattle and specialises in pasture-fed beef. And the film, it documents their highs and lows over a one-year period as they go through the beginnings of their Regen Ag journey. Like I say, I was lucky enough to see it on Friday last week at John Pawsey's farm in Suffolk, and it definitely gets a hugely positive rating from me. I think it's a story of positivity and hope, but it's also very realistic. It shines a light on many of the challenges and struggles involved in farming, and especially for new entrants. And yeah, you're very lucky today because you're not going to hear me just rabbiting on about the film. I'm actually joined by four stars from the film, well, two of the production team and two people starring in it. The producer, Claire McKenzie, is with me, who has been on the show before, over 2 years ago. I can't believe it. Director Colin Ramsey, and Adrian and Ben, who both feature in the film. Thank you for coming on. Claire, I'm going to start with you. The last time you were on the podcast was April 2022, so it's been a while. How does it feel to actually be at this point?
Quite enormous. yeah, it's, I don't know, I keep reflecting on it because you have to stop. We haven't been able to stop. We launched it on the 4th of January, and it's been like a really hectic train ride, but in a really wonderful train ride where we've been able to stand back and look at full audiences watching our film. And it's, I'm just pinching myself that we've A, finished it, B, that these wonderful farmers have stayed on board with us, that we all seem to be friends still, and that Colin and I are still talking, and that we have a really amazing team, which sort of seems to grow by the minute. People have wanted to be with us since the beginning, because I think, as you've pointed out, Ben, it's, you know, this is a regenerative story, and I think people are excited about the word regeneration. And so the essence of working on a project is exploring something positive. Has just been incredible. So yeah, it's just, it's wonderful. It feels fantastic, and it's been a blast so far.
Can you give it like a brief synopsis of the film and what it's about? I briefly introduced it, but can you give some a little bit more detail, Claire?
Yes. So the film, obviously, easy to start here. We've got AD and Ben, who, and then we have Anna Jackson. So they're the three main characters. Colin and I decided to go with new young entrants so that we've got different from the average age of farmer, 59, white male. We've got two women and three young farmers, and they're at the beginning of their journeys. And they've all got very different backgrounds in their farming expertise. So obviously we explore that, and then we explore their challenges. And on their way, on the journey in the film, we meet other experts in the field like Henry Dumbleby and Vicky Hurd, who discuss the poignant subjects that come up. And then in addition to that, we take the three of them to meet mentors. One of them is John Pawsey, whose farm we were on Friday with a screening. And they get to see their farms and share a sort of a day of reflection. And we share that in the film, and it's a really special bit because this is what happens in the regenerative world. There's a lot of sharing and farm cluster groups being formed, etc. So this is, you know, this is very, very much what is happening out there in the field. You see it on the film. And then we have a wonderful conclusion. And obviously, that was filmed in 2022, most of it. And so now, well, these two can expand upon where they are now. But the essence of it is we give a history at the beginning on the disaster that is happening climatically, the history of agriculture, but then the film does end on a sense of hope with some wonderful solutions, hopefully, that people can start to look to.
Yeah. Colin, as I understand it, this was your first agricultural film that you've made. I'm just interested in the process and what this was like in comparison to some of your other work.
Yeah, so it's actually the second agricultural film, the first being From the Ground Up, which was a short film we made in 2020, 2021. And that's how Claire and I met, actually. And we got to follow five farmers in that film in Cambridgeshire on their regenerative journey at different stages of it. And that was kind of like the impetus for 6 Inches, really. So through that project, I got to spend time on farms, talk to farmers, see some of the problems they're experiencing, some of the highs, some of the lows. And I just thought, you know, why aren't more people talking about this? We're crying out for solutions to climate change, solutions that work, that are tested, and it feeds people as well. So when you see what's happening on those farms, it's pretty incredible. I don't think really anyone's told that story. So that was sort of the impetus for 6 Inches of Soil. This is like the first opportunity I got to work on a feature film as well, which is a really big deal as a filmmaker, and it's no small thing. You know, it's three, four years of my life. So you've got to really be passionate and motivated by the subject matter, especially with documentary films, because, you know, typically you're working very long hours. You're putting a lot of heart and soul and effort into it, a lot of research, a lot of time spent thinking about it, discussing it, talking about the issues, reading a lot of literature. So you're really immersing yourself. So it's something that you have to be incredibly motivated by to dive into. And I don't come from a farming background. But what I do, you know, I do really care about the planet. I do care about having solutions and about community as well. And that's what's so great about the subject is it isn't just about farming. And I think if people just look at it as farming in isolation, they're missing the point. If we're truly going to regenerate, we need to regenerate society, our values, the system that we will operate in, the way we buy food, the way we experience food, the way we get access to land, access to nature. It's all these issues bundled up with it. And that's what makes it so fascinating. But yeah, previously my work was doing a lot of stuff in education, technology, and the science sector. I've done a lot of stuff on AI, artificial intelligence as well. So I've been quite immersed in that. So it was a nice break to move away from a very technical subject matter in a lot of my films through to something actually to do with nature. And actually, this is something, an area which I want to explore more of in future projects as well.
You mentioned there that you've been working on this for 4 or so years. And one more question for Claire and Colin before I go to our farmers. I'm interested in your perception of how the regenerative farming movement has shifted during that time.
It's been amazing. I think, you know, we've read a lot of books, a lot of papers, attended a lot of webinars. And I think at the beginning, there was a sense of, is this going anywhere? Is this gaining traction? You go to Groundswell, is it just sitting? I remember one farmer saying to me, well, this is kind of those green farmers that go to Groundswell. So we went, and that was, well, it will be, we've been three times. So we went, first one we went was in 21. I think it was smaller, and there is a really amazing reflection. So we went last year in 23. It had already grown exponentially, and it was also out of just not just farmers learning. There are lots of companies on board now looking at it, whether that's right or wrong, whether you want financial people in to this to sell carbon or sell nature, etc. But that is happening, is being taken seriously. And then the other great thing we've been looking at constantly is the government, where they're going to put their money. Are they going to support them with the subsidies? our BPS dropping, what's going to happen with ELMS, Environmental Land Management, and SFI, etc. And they announced at OFC this year in January that actually they are going to put 10% more in. I mean, we could be cynical and say, are they just trying to win the farmers' vote? I saw a headline today at Farmers Guardian saying the very same thing as Rishi Sunak does. But at the moment, they seem to be listening to all of their civil servants, such as Janet Hughes and her team have been trying, and people like NFFN who are pushing that to happen. So it will be interesting to see if that does happen. But it also, we're seeing lots of regen labels. We've watched Wild Farm since the beginning, and they genuinely have more bakers, they have more farmers, they are engaged, they are buying. I mean, who knows where that's going, but they are still there. And that's amazing. And Matthew's Cotswold Flour, one of our partners, they've just launched a regen flour. So we feel excited, and we feel that farmers are also looking to it, those that might have not have done, as a solution. They can't fully go organic, but they look at regen as a step to making their farm resilient and diverse. So, we do feel it has grown.
Yeah. Colin, what's your perception?
Yeah, I mean, I'd echo all of those thoughts from Clev, and I'll probably add that I think it's important with these things to always check yourself and to remember that you are in a bit of an echo chamber when we're screening the film to farmers and to other regen folks. So wherever we can, it's important to step outside of that bubble and see what people on the street think. So I think that's something we should do more of, I think, in the future with the film. We're hoping with these picture house screens, we can open up more punters from the public, you know, more people who've never heard of regenerative agriculture, let alone know very little about farming. So I think it's always important to check yourself. But yeah, I mean, the direction of travel seems to be going in the right direction. And in very, you know, traditional farming literature like Farmers Guardian, Farmers Weekly, in a country far, you're hearing the talk of regeneration a lot now. And when they're interviewing people in these podcasts and on these shows, it almost sustainability or regenerative or agroecology seems to come up a lot. Yeah. So it really is traveling that direction. And then what you'll find is now that, you know, there doesn't seem to be anyone really defending the status quo. You know, we've got to stick conventional and keep spraying and keep tilling and keep going at it because we've got to feed the world. Actually, that narrative is dying now. And this whole got to feed the world thing, as soon as you poke it a little bit, you realize that it's really not substantiated by the evidence, really. It's just a mantra that people keep beating. But yeah, so it's moving in the right direction. I think the challenge, of course, is mainstreaming it and getting people on the street to think about what it means, because we've had organic for many, many years, but that hasn't really shifted the needle. So what is different about regenerative? What is different about these terms? And how can we encompass more people into that group and make them part of that solution as well, rather than just on the farms or on the niche parts of the industry?
This episode is being supported by our primary sponsor, Howden Rural, which is the new name for A-Plan Rural. The Howden team shares my passion for giving a voice to farmers, and we are both driven to raise the profile of farming voices to a wider audience. Howden Rural do a lot of work on social media themselves, sharing farming accounts and farming stories. They have a rural community blog which shares farmers' experiences. They also support a growing number of initiatives that champion UK farmers, including this podcast. So a big thank you to Howden Rural for supporting Meet the Farmers. Let's bring in our farmers. Ben, I'm going to turn to you first. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about your business, first of all, but also how you got involved in this film?
So my business, yeah. So at Trevello Farm, we have about just over 40 head of native breed cattle, mainly Devons and Belted Galloways at the moment. They are kept outside all year round. They're on a 100% pastured diet, so we're not buying any feeds in, and they're only eating what's growing on the farm. They're kept outside all year round, fattened, and then sold to directly to consumer, but also to some premium online butchers that are like sort of recognizing the value of what we're producing and then rewarding us for that, I guess, financially. We buy them as stores. We're not breeding anything at the moment. Haven't got the time because I've got a day job where I manage a farm for Natural England as well. So
really? Okay.
Yeah, so time needs to be managed well. So we buy stores in and fatten them at Trevedo. You know, it's a really super simple system. that suits that. It also suits us being, you know, this is my wife and I, our first farming venture and business setup as such, because it's just massively low capital outlay. You know, we've got no machinery. We're not spending those money on fertilizer. We're not spending those money on feeds as well. So, you know, we've got a really low cost business model that's working in harmony with nature and doing great things at the moment. We're really proud of what we've created. And also through the film, I guess, are proud to show how well it works and how this system, you know, can be adopted by other farmers, like new entrants coming in, or, you know, other farmers looking to simplify their sort of beef operations, I guess. We're really proud of where it's going. And as we've said, that some of the screenings we've been to so far are actually quite excited to have a future in farming that's farming in this way as well, and to be able to scale up this sort of business model that we've got at the moment. So, yeah, it's exciting.
I have to say the film makes the farm look amazing as well. One of my favorite moments as well is there's a drone shot over one of your woodlands showing the cattle. It sounds a stupid thing to say, but they look like they should be there, and it's just a beautiful moment in the film.
It's amazing how many people keep saying that.
Really?
which is really nice to hear. But I remember at the time when Colin was piloting this drone, and we done the work to get the cows into the woods, let them rummage around we left them in there for the rest of the day, and got back to Claire and Colin, and I just remember their reaction being like, oh my gosh, that was just like the most epic thing to see on just the drone camera. So, you know, to see it now on the big screen is awesome. So it's brilliant to hear that. But yeah, I think especially the Belties, they really stand out in there, don't they? And they're just made to be there. They're sort of, you know, they're happiest when they're in those sort of environments and having to get a rub and scratch, expressing their natural behaviours, really. So, it was great to be able to show that on the film.
Oh, it was an amazing moment. Yeah, so how did you get involved in the film?
Yeah, so I think one of the brilliant landlords we've got at Trevello, Simon, the farm's owned by three siblings, he somehow knew Claire. And Simon said, am I happy to speak to Claire? Because they're going to film this film all about Regen Ag, and they think we'd be perfect for it. So we were like, sounds pretty crazy, but a conversation you can't turn down. And Claire rang me one day, and I can remember sitting in the Land Rover at work for well over an hour, having this awesome conversation with her, talking all things, you know, regenerative agriculture, and discussing these ideas, and talking about other farmers that are doing it really well. And I can remember coming away from that thinking, wow, she knows so much about this subject area. And I thought I was obsessed with it, you know, looking through on Instagram and reading all the things that are out there. But Claire was there as well, and I knew then that I would love to be involved because of her passion about the subject, I guess. So
that made me laugh inside. But when you said he somehow knew Claire, I think this is one thing that you as a team have done really well, and Claire in particular, going back and looking back, having looked on this from afar, this project from afar for the last few years. You've been amazing at cultivating that community aspect through the process of making the film and bringing people on board and the crowdfunder. It's very much been, it's felt like from the outside, it's felt like a whole community coming together to make this happen. Well, there are so many things I want to speak about, but I'm going to bring in Adrienne. Because I was so inspired when I was watching the film about your particular story of how you've been building your business. So just give the listeners an insight into your business and how you started it and why you started it.
So it's quite a long meandering story, but I started Sweet Pea in 2022. I got into growing veg by going traveling and volunteering on organic farms in New Zealand. Yeah, I was around people who were like, oh, if you ever go traveling, you must go and woof. That's what they call it. It's willing workers on organic farms. And I had no idea that any of that was happening in the UK. I think I thought I had to go to New Zealand to find it. And it wasn't until I came back and started looking that I realized that there's actually so much going on here. With that,
it wasn't that easy to find the kind of work on farms that I wanted in my area. So I went to Sussex and I worked on farms down there, and then decided that in order to come back and be around my family and friends, then I needed to start my own business. And also just, I saw a lack of local veg producers around where I live. So I wanted to be part of making that more accessible to people locally.
And another thing that came across for me was your landlord on the farm as well, both the fact that he really wanted your work to happen on the site, and he's also been involved very much from the start in terms of that support.
Yes, he's amazing. So I found Tom through the Oxford Real Farming Conference. I was volunteering online. This was during COVID. And I posted on the notice board saying I was looking for land and opportunities in East Anglia. I was going broad. I was like, anywhere yeah. around there. and it just happened that he's in Cambridgeshire, which is not far from where I grew up. And he has been experimenting. Well, he's been farming regeneratively for 7 years since he took over the management of his family farm. And he was a GP, so he comes at it from a public health background. He's really passionate about people having access to affordable, nutritious food and the health benefits that come with that. So having a market garden on his land really fits into that vision that he has of like bringing people with farming locally and connecting with local people. So he's done so much. He's put in rabbit-proof fencing. He's put in rainwater storage tanks. Things like that are some of the barriers that really that people starting more horticulture, and they're very small scale, but they need a lot of investment initially in order to get set up. So you need to keep the deer and the rabbits off your crops. Tom really helped with that kind of transition.
Claire and Colin, I want to come back to you, and I just want to talk about the story itself, because it's no mean feat to take something as massive as agriculture, as regenerative agriculture, and find a single story. There are multiple sort of layers to this story, but to plot that story throughout. What was your approach to the storytelling, and how did that adapt as you went through this project?
You know, you have a plan for these types of things. We had a story outline which kind of laid out the sort of building blocks, three characters, three farming systems, and then the issues off the back of that. As you've rightly said, there's lots to talk about, lots of issues, lots of stakeholders, and every country has a cultural aspect to it as well, historical aspect to food and farming. I think with this, it was to excuse the pun, but it was quite an organic process. Yeah, so as we're on the farms, we're filming with them seasonally. So we start our first filming session was with AD, just as she was putting up her polytunnel. This was, I think, was about springtime, wasn't it, AD? About sort of, well, February, maybe February, March. It's quite a warm late winter, early spring. So we started then. We worked chronologically through that growing season. So you see everyone at the beginning of the film in the wintertime. And then you come back to winter at the end of the film. So that gave us a structure to the storytelling, the chronology of each farm. And we also wanted to show what it took to grow or to develop that produce. So with Anna, you see her drilling and then the wheat growing and then the harvesting of the wheat. And the same with Ada, you see her growing the food, harvesting the food, selling the food. And the same with Ben as well. We see the cow go through and all those things. So we see the whole supply chain. That was an important part of the story. So if you imagine it in layers, at the top, you've got the three farmers across the three farming systems, and you've got the chronology of that time, and then you've also got the food they're producing as well. So it's kind of different layers to the story to give it a structure. And then off the back of that, once you've got people into that structure, you can start talking about some of the bigger issues, societal issues, environmental issues, policy issues and stuff like that. But I think at the center of it, we wanted to show, you know, the difficulties and the solutions as well. And I think everyone that's seen the film has come away saying what a positive story it is, an inspiring story, and how, you know, we don't pull any punches. We acknowledge the difficulties, but we also have a focus on, you know, the solutions and their journey as well, and how, you know, at the end of the film as well, we give a little update to the character's journey as well. Of course, it's just 1 year on a farm, and you can only do so much in 1 year. If you really, you know, if I was to do it again, I'd be, you know, living on a farm for like 5 years, you know, and you get that real journey then of like that full development, that full business development, perhaps even 7 years. I remember Marina says it takes 7 years to regenerate soil. So 7 years is basically the time it takes to take soil from, you know, dead, inert, lifeless through to biologically active. So, yeah, I think I'm happy with the story structure. And I think people are coming away feeling that they told a human story, a personal story, and it talked about the issues as well. And that's, for a documentary, that's just what you want, really.
Yeah. And just broadening this out to storytelling generally, I'm interested in your view on what the role of storytelling in agriculture is going forwards, and how important it is, what sort of shape it might take. I don't know, Claire, you might want to come in on that first.
Yeah, I think what we've been, I think recently with the Guy Singh Watson's campaign, Get Fair About Farming, you know, the centre of that campaign is that we've been so misled by supermarkets, so, you know, whether there's fake farm names, etc. And I think it's so important for people to start connecting with people that are actually growing the food. And every time I have a conversation with someone about screening a film, and they may be heading up a food organisation or a food company, and they rarely suggest putting a farmer at the centre of that conversation. And I think it is changing, but it needs to happen. The voice of the person who's actually producing the food needs to be there. And it's the same with government, you know, listening to farmers more and more, because without that connection to those that actually understand how and when and are looking at the reality of growing food, we can't change the system as it is. So I think it's super important that we keep telling those stories, keep connecting, keep hearing from farmers in different ways. The great thing with social media now, and that's the other thing we've seen rise, is, you know, you can have a voice through Twitter, X, Instagram, etc., and people are using it more and more. And I think that's really important for people who don't know anything about farming to have a lovely window into it without having to get too involved in reading endless articles. And also, I think that's where, you know, we were really proud of this film. And that's why I think even farmers that aren't particularly on a regen journey are enjoying what we've told, because we are putting up the reality, like Clarkson's done. It's the reality of farming. It's the highs and lows. But also, you're getting to know the characters who actually grow our food. I think there's been so many misconceptions of farmers over the years. And I know this, I was brought up in a rural area in Scotland, and there's always quite often jokes, you know, they're a bit, you know, but they're probably absolutely knackered and don't have the time. So now I think, I mean, we're asking more from farmers having to communicate. And, you know, I work with AD on the farm. I know we're at the middle of the summer when she's absolutely knackered. The last thing she wants to do is write a flipping post to people. But she still rises and does it, because it is a tool to communicate. And the way she communicates through those posts are so personal. Personally, I mean, okay, I know her, but I think when she writes a message, you want to go there, you want to buy her products, you want to know more, you want to know why she's protecting her soil. And those are the positive stories I think need to keep being told.
Yeah, I mean, it's the social media aspect is massive. I think it's a huge opportunity, because you know, you literally be anywhere on a farm and share with an audience internationally in seconds what's going on. I mean, that just have to pause and just let that sink in. People forget how amazing that technology actually is, right? And that's only in the last 20 years. And you can do it live, which is incredible. I think going back to the piece for farmers, yeah, for a long time, farmers really haven't had a voice. I think they've, you know, had certain organizations represent them, but now they're being empowered to tell a story on their farm if they have the time to do so and the resources to do so. But also like for their product as well. So if, you know, if you're an arable farm, that's maybe a bit more difficult because it's, you know, sold to the on the commodity market. But if you're like Ben Livestock Farm or AD on a market garden, you've really got a really cool story to tell, because you're very close to the end product and you can track it and you can see it and people can engage with it. The customers can engage with that story as well. So I think if you're a small scale grower or small farm operator, you've actually got more opportunity to tell a more nuanced story and develop, you know, a personal brand for your farm as well. And people love that, right? They like to see where their food comes from, the provenance of food as well. So I think that's a key aspect of it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. AD, how important has storytelling been for you in launching a new business?
Well, massive. Yeah, as Claire and Killen said, it's how people connect with what I'm doing. These past few months, just having 6 inches shown to a wider audience, I'm quite protected from the kind of general feedback because being quite careful to not overwhelm me. But I get other people sending me messages saying, oh, I saw your story and like I really connect with it and I really appreciate you sharing. I think those are the posts I put on Instagram where I'm actually very honest and I'm like, this isn't easy or I'm struggling or I talk about my mental health, things like that. Actually, those are the things that people engage with because I think then they don't feel as alone. And I think that is important that we acknowledge that actually the world is really overwhelming and quite difficult. And it's not all just success stories or like, like you have to kind of go through the failure and all of that. And the people who really want to support Sweet Pea are the people who are connecting with that. So yeah, because I'm mostly selling through markets and things like that. So it's people who kind of find it that way.
Yeah, I'm certainly hopeful that as a result of this film, Cambridge Market is going to be absolutely rammed from now. People are going to be flocking there.
That would be lovely.
Meet the Farmers is brought to you by Rural Pod Media, the only podcast production agency to specialise in the rural sector. We're on a mission to make rural stories mainstream and help businesses, organisations and communities like you tell your story through podcasting. Podcasting is a fantastic way of connecting with your audience, whoever that might be, getting your message out there and networking with leaders in your niche. Rural Pod Media can help you by launching your new podcast or helping you with the technical side. We also provide podcast training and an audit service if you already have a podcast but you're not sure where to take it to next. For more information or to book a call, visit ruralpodmedia.co.uk. That's ruralpodmedia.co.uk. Claire, the film is available in lots of locations over the next few months. Can you tell us a little bit about plans for the film through the year? And critically, I suppose, how people can watch it, because that's the important bit.
So it's been World Organic is going to come back. So Bill, as you said, the crowdfunder, then we had an audience. And from the beginning, people have said, can we show it on our farm? Can we put it in our food group? Maybe a university, whatever's connected. But we were collecting all these in our little database. Thought we had it all under control. We obviously thought we'd made a really good film. But I think the timing has been unbelievable because we were worried it might be a bit late, might have been a bit of development, people might have settled, or there'd been, you know, farmers were suddenly being given loads of money from Elms and whatever. But no, farmers are on the streets and marching. Yeah. And they're so when we launched it, we've had a huge amount of interest. It's just gone bonkers. So we, with a very tiny team, and most of us have been doing it for nothing, and hopefully that will, you know, will change as we're beginning to sell it as such. But we also wanted to remain showing it at community level, because myself and most of the team, it's been, as you mentioned earlier again, Ben, it's been made as a community piece, it's been made as an environmental piece, it's been made as a piece that we want everyone to see and have access to. And so we were so delighted that it's going out widely, but we've now had to find a way of doing it effectively, because you suddenly realize you're not sending out a DVD in the old way. How do you do it safely? It's a big file. All of these intricacies we've had to navigate. So finally, we found through another organization, a company that works with small film companies like ourselves to distribute at community level. So it's absolutely amazing. And we will launch that hopefully in the next week. And what we'll do is we'll be steering you know, through our comms, everyone in that direction, and they'll get the license, they get all our materials, and then they'll safely get the film, and that company will also support them technically. Because we were so worried, you know, we got to place Rassi up in Scotland and suddenly getting it, and then we're going to get a phone call, you know, you've sent us a link, but now it's not uploading, and, you know, we can't deal with that. So it means once Kinema is, it's called Kinema, once that's up and running and really effective, then we can get as many, all of these screenings happening. The other wonderful, wonderful thing that happened was in July, we had a test screening, and someone called Flip Beckett came to see it. She is with Picture House. And basically, she heads up the green screen program, which is unbelievable. So basically, they choose a selection of environmental films for the year, and they show them at picture houses, and they do a short run. There's one called The Nestle Dress, which has done so well that actually it's still running in picture houses. And so she selected our film, which is amazing, because when we've applied for sort of film money and stuff, I think half the time people still don't understand that farming is a topic that people actually really want to watch and learn about. And we're hoping that this will happen through Picture House. We're going to unlock it. So the key to that is hopefully will be seen outside the echo chamber, that people in cities and towns will see it there. But other cinemas are also offering it. So basically watch our website, 6inchesofsoil.org, and on there is a whole list of screenings. There's a really effective map. Obviously, we have our newsletter. You can sign on via the website, and then we have all our socials as well. So that's what's happening. At the end of the day, probably by the end of the year, once hopefully we've also put it into some major festivals that we've also just worked out which ones we're going to put it into. If they accept us, and there's one in America particularly, that doesn't happen to the end of the year. So we won't be till the end of the year that will be made to be, will be available online when people will press either video on demand, or, you know, someone like we, you know, one of the big streaming services takes it. So that's it. That's sort of what's happening.
Amazing. Ben, have you had much feedback from other farmers? I'm interested in how it's gone down with them.
So initially, it's quite cool, actually. The screenings around the UK and Instagram goes quite crazy during, and then after, hopefully after the screening, you know, when they all get onto their phones and look at the flyer and give us a follow and look at what we're up to. So that's been really cool. Having like a buzz of energy after each screening. There's been a few people. It's been quite a lot, actually. It's asking maybe how we started getting into mob grazing, or, you know, the cattle in the woodlands sort of management, and how we're thinking about that and what's our future plans. And they would really love to try it as well. So it's really cool that it's... like building enthusiasm for other farmers to make some changes, and it's quite humbling as well. I've never felt like I was somebody that other farmers would come to for advice, but I guess now I'm for 2 or 3 years into farming in this way, we've been doing it, and we've got a bit of experience behind myself, and I actually feel like I can help other people out, and it's really nice, you know.
It's exciting.
It's just a nice thing to do, isn't it? If people ask you a question, give them advice, and I feel like it's a great way to help enact some change. And then locally, we had a screening down in Cornwall, and that was brilliant. The buzz in the venue afterwards was just amazing, and there's all these like leading local farmers and agribusinesses, and it was quite humbling to be a part of that evening, and there's some really great conversations coming out of that as to how we can kind of help local farmers in Cornwall as well if they want to transition, maybe signposting where to go, or, you know, things like that. So yeah, it's been really exciting, actually.
Great. AD, what feedback have you had?
Similar. We haven't had our local one yet. That's still to come in March. Our kind of green carpet thing will be in Cambridge in March, and I think the tickets have sold out, so that's really like exciting.
Great.
And I've got lots of friends and family coming, which is really great. It's been really interesting even observing the things from afar, like the John Pawsey, how many people within my networks are going to that and seeing it almost independently of me, like talking to them about it. And what I am really appreciating about this is the connectivity, the fact that it is bringing all of these food organizations and all of these people who work within food and farming together to have a conversation, and all of the panels that are happening and things like that. It just feels like a really amazing and powerful space that's being created, that's kind of sending out all of these offshoots of things. So it's, yeah, it's quite incredible. And then, like, I do get the odd message from people saying how much they love the film and telling me to keep on. And that's just really helpful.
Yeah, keep going, keep going.
Because it can be very isolating being, like, doing this kind of thing on your own. So just being connected to those other people who are doing it on their own is like, incredible.
Just a little more about our primary sponsor, Howden Rural, which is the new name for A-Plan Rural. Same people, different name. Howden Rural provide bespoke insurance cover for farms and estates. This could be for anything from tractors and machinery to a new exciting diversification venture. So for more information, visit howdeninsurance.co.uk/rural. Claire, I'm going to finish with you, and I'm actually going to ask you to take your mind all the way back to when this idea began. And in terms of what you wanted to achieve by this film, have you done that? And have you achieved more than you wanted?
I would say we've achieved way more than I thought. Yeah, I was probably quietly ambitious. I didn't really inside. But I thought we'd make a film. I hope that, you know, it might go to groundswell. John Pawsey's farm. But the fact that we seem to be getting, and I mean, Colin's right, we are in an echo chamber. I mean, we mustn't think too much about our little Instagram posts and people watching it, because we've probably still got very warm and fuzzy. But I am watching some quite unusual people now following us, whether they're ex-soap stars, health people, chefs. Yeah. Literally, people have no connection with us whatsoever are coming forward and wanting. So, yes, I think it has far exceeded that. But I think personally, I have grown hugely. I've learned a lot. It's been grueling at times, and it's been very, very long hours. But I think Colin and I, we've both driven it because we are truly, truly passionate about the subject. And I can't tell you, I haven't absolutely loved it. And I'm very grateful to my family who've given me a lot of leeway. I'm grateful to these guys, particularly to the farmers, to AD, Ben and Anna and Andrew, for giving up a huge amount of time, and to be part of, hopefully forever be part of, what I would call the regen agroecological community. It means a lot to me. And I hope that, you know, I can carry on working with AD on the farm when I can, and just be in touch with soil, because that's the place I want to be, really. So yeah, all amazing. And I get to meet people like you, Ben. So it's fab.
Oh, well, I'm probably picking the film up maybe a little bit too much. Is that possible? But it is just, I'm so pleased that the film is at this stage, and it's really exciting to see it out there, see people watching it, engage with it. And like you say, one of the things I'm really excited about is where this can go. So those other people, who are those other people out there who this can engage with, this can attract? So very excited. Before you go, and Claire, I'm going to ask you the final two questions of the show, which I ask in every episode. If you had a message for the public, any message, what would it be? I'm going to be interested in this one.
Smell soil, touch soil, nice. Go outside more, because it genuinely helps your head. And if you can do it with a community, even if you go to a community garden or cluster group of farmers, but yeah, do it in a community spirit.
And a message for farmers.
Farmers, yeah. So I think, sorry, that I should have left that, but I would work together and learn together, and I think join a local farmers cluster or start one. Or I just see that as a really positive way forward. And obviously, you can join other membership groups and find groups through there as well. But I see that as the most positive thing to do.
Excellent. We're going to leave it there. But yeah, huge thanks to you all for coming on, and best of luck from me for the year ahead. It's going to be very exciting. But well done for everything you've done so far.
Thanks, Ben.
Nice one. Cheers, Ben. Great to meet you.
That is it for today. A big thank you to my guests, Claire McKenzie, Colin Ramsey, Adrian Gordon, and Ben Thomas. Thanks also to our primary podcast sponsor, Howden Rural Insurance. If you don't already, please like and subscribe to the show. That honestly makes a big difference. Leave us a review and share it with someone who you think might like the show. Next week, I'll be back with you with another main episode. But for now, I'm Ben Eagle. This has been Meet the Farmers, and thank you very much for listening.